Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John of the Cross, one of the great mystics of the church. Did you know that John of the Cross, when he was just a boy, his father died, and his destitute mother sent him to a school for the poor. And then later he joined the Carmelites in 1563, and he joined forces, so to speak, with Teresa of Avila to carry out a reform of the Carmelite order. If you're at all interested in very good spiritual reading, some of you may not have heard of Ralph Martin, who's the president of Renewal Ministries, the organization that I work for. And Ralph has written a book entitled Fulfillment of All Desire, Fulfillment of All Desire. And it's his writing on the various saints and the major things they talked about in terms of growing in union with God and how to do that. And certainly John of the Cross factors in that book particularly. If you just go to our website, renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net, and then click on bookstore, you can find the book easily and order it there. It's entitled Fulfillment of All Desire. The first reading for today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 13 to 20. I am the Lord your God, who grasp your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, O worm Jacob, O maggot Israel, I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Apply this to yourself, then apply it to your whole generation. I will make of you a threshing sledge, sharp, new, double-edged, to thresh the mountains and crush them, to make the hills like chaff. When you winnow them, the wind shall carry them off, and the storm shall scatter them. But you shall rejoice in the Lord in glory, in the Holy One of Israel. The afflicted and the needy seek water in vain. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the broad valleys. I will turn the desert into a marshland and the dry ground into springs of water. I will plant in the desert the cedar, acacia, myrtle, and olive. I will set in the wasteland the cypress together with the plane tree and the pine, that all may see and know. Observe and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. Whatever God touches, whatever God blesses, comes to life. That's first of all you and me. But then he uses us to reach out to others and to bring the life of God to them. Look at the promise. I will open up the rivers and fountains in the broad valleys. I'll turn the desert into a marshland and the dry ground into springs of water. The Messiah would come, and the Messiah would give us life. But brothers and sisters, it's also that we who are baptized, we are dwellings of the Holy Spirit. If we're in a state of grace, God wants to use us in all kinds of ways to bring life where there's death, to bring hope where there's despair, to bring light where there's darkness, right in your own neighborhood, sometimes right in your own family. And the more we yield to God, the more we let ourselves be directed by God, the more we will begin to see how God extends his life to us through one another. Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all. He's compassionate toward all his works. Those who don't experience it are the ones who turn away from him. He will never force us. But if you seek him with all your heart, he says that when you seek me with all your heart, you will be found by me. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord. Let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. Let them make known to men your might and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages. Your dominion endures through all generations. Listen to the hope in that. Listen to the life-giving word that's there. My goodness, brothers and sisters, we're parched. We're dry. We're cramped. We've lost hope. Visions and dreams of ours have disappeared, gone by the wayside. And we've given up to ever dream again. When God wants us to dream in him, what he will accomplish in us when we yield ourselves to him. Scripture tells you your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will have visions. Age doesn't matter. God wants to give us life. That's why the Advent preparation is so important, to ready our hearts so that we can receive all the grace, so there are no barriers in us to the grace that God lavishly wants to pour out on us. I'm not some Pollyanna. I know life is very difficult. I know there are heavy wounds. I know there are almost impossible crosses that many of you are carrying. I know that. But I also know that our God is greater than all of that. Let your cross, whatever it is, enable you to turn to him, because he's the only one many times who can answer. The Gospel of Matthew today, from chapter 11, verses 11 to 15. Jesus said to the crowds, "Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." There's none greater than John the Baptist. And yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Paradox. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. All the prophets and the law prophesied up to the time of John. And if you are willing to accept it, Jesus says, he is Elijah, the one who is to come. Whoever has ears ought to hear. When you and I are baptized, we're baptized not just a baptism of repentance, but we're baptized into the life of Christ himself. That's what's given us. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Only because the Messiah has come. And all the fruit of the Messiah is in us. And think of John the Baptist. Think of how obedient he was to Christ. Think how willing, that when people were lauding him for what he was doing, and he said to them, I must decrease. He must increase. He wanted Jesus to be seen and known and loved more than John the Baptist, who had laid down his life to be the precursor, the one to go before the Messiah. And yet he was free. He knew he wasn't the Messiah, and he was free to be able to say that. He must increase, and I must decrease. That's not belittling yourself. It's simply a recognition that my job, this is John the Baptist, my job is to point the way to him and to point him out and to show him and to reveal him, to make him known. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. All of us are called to that. With all of our luxuries and all of our inventions and all of our everything that we have in this world, we've lost sight of Jesus, the only one who can give us eternal life of utter absolute happiness forever. Will you follow him? Will you believe him? Will you obey him? Don't this Christmas just honor the Christ child, though please do that. But don't just make your token visit to the crib. Say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be your follower. You gave up everything for me. I want to be your follower. I want to dedicate my life to you, whether you're a priest or a religious, whether you're a husband, a wife, whether you've remained single and have particular works that you do for the sake of God's people, whatever it is, whatever your state in life, whatever it is, what matters is the disposition of your soul. What matters is your willingness to put your will subordinate to God's will. When you do that, God will be able to mightily, mightily use you. Jesus said to the crowds, Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. All the prophets and the law prophesied up to the time of John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah, the one who is to come. Whoever has ears ought to hear. They never, brothers and sisters, understand this. They never expected the Messiah to come the way he did, looking just like one of them. They expected him to come with power and glory and majesty. And he didn't. And they failed to recognize him. Don't fail to recognize him. He's with those, whether they are in positions of might and power or whether they're the most destitute in your city. He's with all those who put God first and who love God with all their hearts. Those are the ones he makes his home with. So the question is, as this Christ child is given to us this Christmas, would he be welcome in your home? Would he be truly welcome in your home? And if the answer is no, then say to the Lord, Lord, come and clean my house. Come and make me a house that praises you, that blesses you, that cares for the poor, that gets her priorities or his priorities straight. Lord, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. There is no greater gift. In this month when we talk so much about gifts, there is no greater gift that you can give the Messiah than to say to him, be it done unto me according to your word, just like Mary did. Be it done unto me according to your word. There is no safer place. It's challenging, but there's no safer place than that in all the world. The will of God. I urge you, brothers and sisters, prepare your hearts for this Christmas, that God may be more King and more Lord of your life than ever before. For the four Sundays of Advent, I have put four meditations on a CD which is available for purchase. It's entitled Journey Through Advent. To order, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, and order the CD there. Again, the title, Journey Through Advent. Or call 1-734-662-1730 and order by phone.